Hezbollah leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah declared a strategic historic victory today, while Prime Minister Ehud Olmert was telling the Knesset a very different story. He said the Israeli army had damaged Hezbollah's massive arsenal, its confidence, and its capabilities. Yossi Klein-Halevi takes exception to that. He's Israel correspondent for The New Republic and a senior fellow at the Shalem Center, a research institute in Jerusalem. You have been in the past a supporter of Prime Minister Olmert. What do you think now?
I was a passionate supporter of Olmert. I wanted to see a centrist party form a government, form a coalition, and to see Olmert fall on his face and prove himself a almost totally inept leader is a political tragedy for Israel.
In what way has he fallen on his face?
Well, Olmert had two advantages that he squandered, two advantages which are really essential for Israel at war. The first is almost an unprecedented level of support from Washington, and the second, even more crucial factor, was virtually wall-to-wall support within the Israeli public. We haven't seen this level of national unity, willingness on the part of the Israeli public to fight and to sacrifice, probably since the 1973 Yom Kippur War. And Olmert squandered both of those advantages by not pressing forward on the battlefield, by holding the army back, even though the army in many ways was incompetent, didn't present creative battle plans. Nevertheless, the army was ready to fight. And there was one cartoon the other day in one of the Israeli dailies that depicted Olmert as a little boy playing with a yo-yo, and on the yo-yo was inscribed the insignia of the Israeli army. There's very deep bitterness here, very great sense of failure that we've squandered the moment, and all of the sacrifices that the Israeli public endured. A million people either sitting in air raid shelters for a month or fleeing their homes, turned into refugees in their own country. Dozens of people killed, soldiers, civilians, hundreds wounded, maimed for life. And we're asking ourselves now, for what? Why did we bother if our leadership was not serious about pressing forward and taking advantage of the circumstances in our favor?
Yossi Klein-Halevi, again, Israel correspondent for The New Republic, senior fellow at the Shalem Center in Israel. Akiva Eldar, another voice we've heard before on our program, a political columnist and editorial writer for Haaretz, one of the dailies in Israel. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Do you think that Prime Minister Olmert that his reputation, after we've heard what Yossi Klein-Halevi has said, can be salvaged? Are there better things to say about him?
Well, I wasn't a great fan of Ehud Olmert. I didn't vote for him, and I'm still not a great fan of him. But I think that he deserves some credit for exactly the same things that my friend Yossi Klein-Halevi mentioned. A leader that was willing to swim against the popular voice and against the public opinion that he himself actually has created. He decided to go for a political, diplomatic arrangement, settlement with the Lebanese. He realized that we have a partner in Lebanon, the enemy of our mutual enemy, that the Lebanese are not our enemies, and that Mr. Senor, the Prime Minister, is in great jeopardy. And if we will keep fighting and we'll keep pushing the Hezbollah people, the Shiites, hundreds of thousands of them, to Beirut, we will end up the same way that Sharon led us to, the same disaster that happened to us in Gaza, and the West Bank can again happen to us in Lebanon, that we will end up with a Hezbollah government instead of a Hezbollah party, like we did in Gaza, that we have upgraded the Hamas from a guerrilla or from a political party to a government. So at the last minute, he turned back, and he went to the UN and to the U.S. and to the Europeans asking for their help to lock up an agreement, which I think puts us in a much better position than the one we were before this war. So, yes, I think that he could have done this in a better way. But Yossi mentioned the casualties, so what is he suggesting? That we will put more good people, more good soldiers to this war? For what? At the end of the day, we would have ended up with the need to go back and with the risk that the Hezbollah will come back anyway.
Yossi Klein Halevi, the question to you from Akiva Eldar. What better could he have done?
Well, a country maintains an army for precisely this moment, this kind of moment, when your home front is being subjected to constant missile attack. We've experienced an attack on the Israeli home front that is unprecedented since the founding of the state, since 1948. And to have treated this war, which is what it was, as an operation rather than a full-fledged battle, was to underestimate the nature of the threat and to misunderstand what this war was really about.
But didn't the missile attack come after Israel had responded militarily to the seizure of the two Israeli soldiers?
Well, the problem here is that there was some misunderstanding that Olmert himself is responsible for about what this war was about. This war was triggered by the kidnapping of the two Israeli soldiers, but what it was really about was confronting the Iranian armed proxy that had taken over our northern border. And that was committed to a confrontation with the Israeli home front, an attack on Israeli civilians. That is what Hezbollah has been building up for the last 6 years.
Akiva Eldar, do you see the war as being about something else?
I agree on this with Yossi, that actually we were fighting against Iranian proxies, and I think that we still have to deal with this in the future. And I believe that what I would hope that Mr. Olmert and President Bush will do is put Syria to the test. We have a great opportunity here to tell the Syrians, look, guys, if you cooperate with the Security Council Resolution 1701, and if you will stop transferring Iranian weapons and missiles to Lebanon, that's your opportunity to get out of the acts of evil. At the end of the day, I think that this war showed the Syrians and other Arab neighbors that Ehud Olmert and Amir Peretz, both civilians, are able to get very wild. And they are sending a clear message to the Syrians and to the Hezbollah. You know, Israel has destroyed half of Lebanon. Don't underestimate it.
Quickly, Yossi Klein Halevi, what about that? What about that message, particularly to the Syrians?
I wish that Akiva were right. I wish that the message that Olmert has conveyed to the Arab world is that Israel is unpredictable and Israel is strong and resolute. I live at the very edge of Jerusalem, facing an Arab village at the beginning of the West Bank. And outside my window for the last 30 nights, including tonight, I've been subjected to a fireworks display of my Palestinian neighbors celebrating Hezbollah's victory.
Despite a warning from Israel not to travel, tens of thousands of refugees jammed the roads into southern Lebanon today. Borzou Deragahi went to southern Beirut to survey the damage and get the mood in that Hezbollah stronghold.
It was really something, quite something, just having gone there. I haven't been here these past few weeks, and it was something I've never seen before. I mean, the amount of devastation, it looked like pictures from Chechnya, Grozny, the heavy bombing there. There's just one section of that part of the city that looks like it's been basically carpet bombed, and you know, 12-story buildings totally crushed. And meanwhile, you have all these people moving back, kind of coming and checking out these piles of rubbles, looking for if there's any possessions of theirs that they can find, checking things out, trying to see whether you know, any of the buildings are salvageable, very preliminary at this point. The Hezbollah guys, after disappearing for a few weeks, were out in full force. They were putting Hezbollah flags on top of the piles of rubble. They had banners up basically saying the U.S. and Israel did this to your house because they couldn't face the resistance, so they went after you instead. And they were basically telling people that they should be proud. They stood up to the Israelis, and they're basically trying to paint this as a victory for the Hezbollah.
U.S. and Israel always linked in these messages?
Not always, but more and more. Yes, absolutely. And I think that's basically they view the Israeli campaign as part of the U.S. Drive to remake the Middle East. And as a matter of fact, that's something that I noticed. Everyone I talked to was saying, this is the new Middle East that Bush wants. This is the sort of civilization that they want to bring to us, and pointing to the rubble there.
Did you get any sense of the degree of support now in that area for Hezbollah? I gathered it's a Hezbollah stronghold, always has been, and I take it that feeling has been reinforced, if anything, from what you've said.
You know, Hassan Nasrallah, is the general secretary of Hezbollah, was on TV tonight talking to people, and you know, he did declare it a victory. You know what it has transpired, and he did try to paint it as a victory. But he also started talking about nuts and bolts issues, saying that, you know, people don't worry, we're going to start rebuilding the houses. We're going to do this together. We're going to have money. We're going to start housing people and providing them shelter, and we're going to reconstruct houses for people. So he was definitely trying to make it seem like we're all part of the same team.
So again, then, he's declared a victory, and he has said that Hezbollah will be part of the reconstruction. Anything more about from him about Hezbollah's armaments and whether they would still be there for whatever purpose?
Well, I mean, he's always been vague on this issue, and it's very vague on this issue with regard to the disarmament issue. And I don't think, I mean, just talking to Hezbollah people, I don't think there's any plans or any hurry to disarm. And one of the things that's kind of interesting is that there's a lot of people in Lebanon want Hezbollah to disarm. But there's a lot of people from all the communities, not just the Shiites, who are adamant that Hezbollah not disarm at this point, and not even discuss disarmament while there are still 30,000 Israeli troops in the country.
Well, Borazu Daragahi, once again, thank you very much for being with us, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Reporter for the Los Angeles Times, reporting now from Beirut, Lebanon. As he indicated, he's been in the southern part of that city earlier today. Judith Palmer Harik is retired political science professor at American University of Beirut, recent author of Hezbollah, The Changing Face of Terrorism. Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be with you.
How likely do you think it is that Hezbollah will, in fact, disarm?
I think there's zero possibility. And I also think that there's zero possibility of any international force or the Lebanese army going to the south very soon.
Why do you say that?
Because I don't see that any force can persuade Hezbollah to go against its own interest to the extent of disarming. And when we heard Hassan Nasrallah speaking tonight, he did make that point. And another point he made was, what is the point of sending the Lebanese army to the southern border of the country when it is ineffective, not trained to withstand an onslaught such as the Israelis have recently made and have made before? He says, to protect the country, you need a stronger force. Now, it doesn't make sense for Hezbollah to allow that to happen. And therefore, I am very, very certain that the UN resolution is going to go nowhere, and that we're back to the status quo ante.
What about...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to get one more question in before we run out of time. And it's this. Earlier we heard that Sheikh Nasrallah has said that not only did we win, but that he gave the message to people in the southern part of Beirut, and presumably this is true in southern Lebanon as well, that Hezbollah will be able to help with really rehabilitation in Chile. Do they have the resources to do that?
Oh, yes. And they have promised to not only reconstruct them, but to furnish them with all the equipment necessary for those people and to provide the people with the cash to do that themselves. Then they went about calling for volunteers to help in this labor of helping to reconstruct. Now, they are completely organized with their organization called Jihad al-Banat. That is a reconstruction effort, it's called, okay? And this is a huge and extremely modern organization staffed with professional engineers, contractors, architects, and whatever it takes. They have been called out on the street tomorrow. They will start removing the rubble from the villages in the south and in the Bekaa first, and then they will go about reconstructing those houses with a word to the Lebanese government, as previously, that it won't cost the Lebanese government a penny.
Where will Hezbollah get the resources to do that?
Well, I'm pretty sure you can guess. I think that will be coming from Iranian oil money, and I think it will also be coming from Iranian charitable organizations that are firmly behind Hezbollah. And don't forget that Hezbollah receives a lot of donations from expatriates. In his talk, Sheikh Nasrallah also called on expatriates to do whatever they could to help in the effort. And so I don't think there is anybody listening right now that doubts that those homes are going to be reconstructed. And that is one of the reasons why our reporter friend commented that so many people are flooding back to the south.
Because they anticipate that they will then get that assistance from Hezbollah.
They do. And they've gone back to see what they can do to start.
Thank you so much for joining us. Again, Judith Palmer-Harik is retired political science professor, American University at Beirut, and recently the author of Hezbollah, The Changing Face of Terrorism. Very good to have you on our program. Come back, talk to us again.
Thank you so much.